Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, week number 6 of the NFL season comes to a close last night. The Monday night finale in downtown LA inside SoFi Stadium. It was the Chargers and the Cowboys. A 3-point game. That has been the story for LA this year. All 5 of the games for the Bolts now, Scott, decided by just a single score. Their 3 losses, including last night, by 3 points or less. In all 3 of those defeats, the Cowboys improved to 4-2. They leave Los Angeles, Scott, with a 20-17 win, even covering as a slight 1.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, you know, I used to have a high school basketball coach. I'll date myself some 25 years ago, who said, "I'll take credit for wins that we win by 5 or less, and I'll take blame, Ben, for losses that we lose by 5 or less." Meaning, close game, it comes down to coaching. And it's a broken record with Brandon Staley. Now, I don't know if he necessarily did anything, you know, outlandish last night. But another close loss, I mean, that's when it does come down to coaching. The X's and O's and figure out a way to get the job done in the crunch and before halftime of this and that. I'm just not a big fan of Brandon Staley, and I think as soon as they cut the cord, they'll be a better team when they do. It'll be addition by subtraction. So nice job by the Cowboys going on the road. Although it seemed like a home game, didn't it? With all the fans there for Dallas to get the win.
Certainly so. Scott, at a certain point, things are not coincidences, right? At a certain point, when the sample size is so large, when it's happened so many times before, it's not just, ah, shucks, get him next time. I can't believe that wild and weird thing happened here for the first or second or third time. This has been the story of the Chargers, a franchise that has played single-score games dating back to the days of Phillip Rivers, long before Brandon Staley was the head coach. But here in his sample size, Scott, as the head man, and in LA, this has continued to happen. You could talk about the dramatic things that have happened with Staley at the helm. Of course, the end of 2021 and the tie game that wasn't against the Raiders, keeping the Chargers from the postseason. And then even last year, once they reached the playoffs, up 27-0 against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. Justin Herbert and LA, Scott, they are now 22-10 when they hold a lead at some point in the fourth quarter. You might be thinking, fantastic, 22-10, that's a good record. Those 10 losses under Justin Herbert are the most since 2020, when Herbert took over as the starting quarterback week number 2 from Tyrod Taylor. That's how bad things are. When you lead in the fourth quarter, more likely than not, Scott, you are expected to close out said football game. Yes, some things can happen, but if you're building up those leads, it means you're pretty good. If you're losing those games, something is amiss. As we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. The Monday night finale in Los Angeles. Dallas wins 20-17 over the Chargers. They even covered to the Cowboys as a 1.5-point favorite. And at a certain point, Scott, LA is going to have to ask those difficult questions, right? It's been the same story for the Bolts each and every offseason. Immense talent on the roster, high optimism and expectation entering a new year. Could this be the year the Chargers knock the Chiefs off their perch in the division? Could this be the year LA wins 11, 12, or 13 games and maybe gets to host a playoff game? Not the case for the Chargers yet again, Scott. That loss last night, the Bolts fall to below 500 at 2-3.
Yeah, you know, and we lay blame, justifiably so, I do think, at the feet of Brandon Staley. But, you know, when does the attention, anyway, Ben, turn to Justin Herbert. You know, and when do we say, all right, you know, is this guy just another Kirk Cousins? Meaning he'll put up monster numbers, but he'll just never win. I mean, he does have to take some of the blame, right? It was year number four now. You know, we all know he's got that big, big contract, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And you know, like I said, deservedly so. He's thrown for 5,000 yards, close to it last year. But, you know, he hasn't been successful winning and losing these games. So some of it's got to fall on his feet as well, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely so. And listen, he wasn't great last night. He threw an interception at the end. That wasn't even really all that terrible, of course, as the Chargers were trying to drive and maybe even tie the game down by three. He had a lot of pressure in his face. Michael Parsons only one sack for the Cowboys, but it was at a crucial juncture late in that fourth quarter. But Justin Herbert had missed on a couple of throws, got that were really good opportunities for LA to take advantage. He certainly deserves some of the onus. And Brandon Staley didn't have a play last night where they went for it on fourth down from their own 24-yard line on fourth and four, something ridiculous like we have seen in times past with Staley at the helm. But when you lose these games and you find ways, it seems, Scott, to often lose tight football games in the fourth quarter, you do things that a bad coach team would do. Well, if you were a poorly coached team, that reflects your leadership and the head man. And it was the Kellen Moore revenge game last night against his former team. Now the OC in LA, he was the OC the last few years for the Cowboys. And on that side of the equation, Scott, Dallas wins their fourth game of the year. They're now 4-2. They bounce back from the embarrassment they suffered two weekends ago in Santa Clara against the 49ers. It wasn't the greatest game we've ever seen, but Dak Prescott threw for a season high, 272 yards, no interceptions for Dak. He had four in the two losses this year for the boys and was the leading rusher for Dallas last night, Scott. 40 yards on the ground, the opening touchdown of the game.
Yeah. You know, and one last thing real quickly on Staley, Ben. You know, you look at his resume. Yeah, it's not – he's 40 years old. He was a coordinator for one year with the L.A. Rams on the defensive side of the ball. He had been with the Broncos the year before and only 2 years with the Bears as an outside linebackers coach, which is basically do my son a favor, will you hire him? I mean, his stardom shot through the roof in a minuscule amount of time, and you just wonder if maybe it was too fast for him. Maybe he's just not ready for this. So, but as far as Dallas goes, yeah, listen, it's not pretty, but that's okay. You know, it's on the road. You got the win. You were embarrassed on national TV the last time we saw you against San Francisco. You're not going to win all these games, you know, by 20, 30 points. And Chargers are a good football team. So no excuses as far as, you know, no apologies for winning by three against LA on the road. Yeah. It's a nice win by Dallas.
Yeah, and they even covered, again, as a short 1.5-point favorite. And, Scott, the key for the Cowboys entering last night, I said to myself, how does this Dallas defense perform against what is a very loaded offense on the other side? Austin Ekeler returning after missing the last three games for L.A. because Dallas, against the best competition this year, has been exposed. When you look at the defenses or the offenses they have played when the defense had been dominant, New England, week number 5, the Jets, week number 4, I should say, for New England, the Jets, week number 2 was Zach Wilson, and week number 1 the New York Giants. Dallas had a really good performance last night in limiting what LA was trying to do. The Cowboys have won 4 games this year. 3 of the 4 games have stayed under. The 4th game against the Jets actually went over by the hook, but that was a low total at 39.5, finishing with 40 points in that game as a whole. That's the track record for Dallas moving forward. We'll continue to move things forward as we get ready for week number 7 of this 2023 NFL regular season. Some big rookie QB news to break down on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll do that next here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Scott Wetzel. So, Scott, week number six of this NFL season comes to a close. We have some rookie quarterback conversations to have here in a few moments. But, Scott, after six games, the Dallas Cowboys are 4-2. They have a bye this upcoming weekend. They host the Los Angeles Rams on the final Sunday of October. And then they will visit the Philadelphia Eagles the first weekend of November at the Link. Obviously, a huge divisional game that should have some implications for how the division race in the NFC East plays out, what it looks like from a true conference championship contention type of conversation. Scott, when you look at Dallas this year, 4-2, again, they've looked really dominant at times in a few of their victories, and in other times there's been some questions about what this Cowboys team is capable of doing. Scott, how do you evaluate Dallas here after the opening month and a half of this NFL campaign?
You know, kind of like I thought they would be, right? I mean, I don't think people thought they would be 6-11, and I don't know if people thought they would necessarily be, I don't know if I say 11-6, but, you know, 12-5, or even, really be one of the best teams in the NFC, as limited as the NFC is. I think it's pretty much status quo, right? 4-2. There's going to be weeks where you say, wow, they're the greatest thing in the world. That defense is second to none. Dak looks great. And then there's going to be games where, you know, they lose to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, so to me, it's exactly how I figured Dallas would be. I think they will get 10, 11 wins when everything is said and done. And I don't know if they catch Philadelphia for first place in the NFC East. We'll see how the Eagles do. But, you know, they'll probably win a game in the postseason, depending on who they play, and then get knocked out in the second round and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, next year we'll go get them again. So I think they're playing right into what I perceive them to be in the preseason. Good football team, but just not great.
Yeah, you know, again, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, Scott, it's a team that has made the postseason 12 times since winning their last Super Bowl championship in 1995. And in those 12 postseason appearances, they have never gotten to an NFC championship game. So I'm not going to bet a team to win the NFC championship that hasn't reached the NFC championship in nearly 30 years. And I still do believe, Scott, as we mentioned, the Eagles, who the Cowboys visit in their second game coming up, their second game on the schedule, at least following the bye week and hosting the LA Rams. I still think the Eagles and the Niners are a clear tier of one in the National Football League, that top tier in the NFC. And then you have the Cowboys and maybe even the Lions, Detroit, a 5-1 football team. So, Scott, that's how I view things right now as it pertains to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, that's not necessarily slander on the boys. I believe the Cowboys are going to be a 11 or 12 win football team, as they have been each of the past 2 years. They've won 12 games. Is there a chance they could win the division now, only a one-game gap? Sure, Scott, because that's another wrinkle of this conversation. Philly's still a slight odds-on favorite to win the NFC East, but we know the trends in that division. We have not seen a repeat divisional champion since 2004. If I was going to bet the Cowboys in any of their future prices, it would be in the NFC East, because that's a regular season number. It doesn't have anything to do with the playoffs.
And Philadelphia's got that gauntlet run, right? That really starts this week at home against Miami. And then they got Washington on the road. Should be a win, but, you know, the Commanders nearly beat them in Philadelphia. And then the fun really begins with Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, 49ers, Dallas, and even I'll throw in at Seattle in back-to-back weeks. I mean, so it's not crazy to think, you know, Philadelphia could be the better of the two teams between them and Dallas, but because of that schedule, the Dallas Cowboys could end up being the NFC East champs, and then that streak would continue, which would be funny. And then kind of laying on the sideline, you mentioned it there as a throw-in almost, but if you look at the Detroit Lions schedule, and listen, I know schedules, the Giants nearly beat Buffalo in Buffalo, and, you know, the Jets beat Philadelphia, so anything can happen. But if you look at that Lions schedule, it's not bad. And the way they're playing, I didn't buy in on them nor the Jets to start the season, Ben, but I am buying in on the Lions now. Listen, they got a good team. Their defense has much, much improved. You know, we knew the offense would be good, but the defense has been terrific this year. Offense, Goff hasn't made any crazy mistakes. They can run the ball. They got a nice backfield. They can throw the ball with the Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, so they're a really good football team. And I wouldn't shock me if you told me that they ended up being in the NFC Championship game, I wouldn't be surprised because of their schedule and the other team's schedules and them being able to get a higher seed.
Yeah. You know, listen, right now where the Lions are, Scott, minus 460 to win the NFC North, that would guarantee them at least one home playoff game. And that's what the Lions are trying to accomplish, not just their first divisional crown in three decades, but their first playoff win in even longer since 1991, 32 years. And, Scott, that's the thing about where the Lions are right now. I think they're right there alongside the Cowboys in tier number two. Again, the postseason pedigree for San Francisco and Philadelphia has them in their own peg right now, in my estimation, ahead of both the Cowboys, the Lions, and anybody else in the NFC. But the Lions are the real deal, and the Lions have a tough test this upcoming Sunday on the road in Baltimore that we'll look at in just a little bit. But Scott, in terms of that rookie quarterback conversation, as Monday Night Football was playing out early last night in Los Angeles, we got the breaking news that Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback for Indianapolis, who has been good at times this year but largely has been hurt, is now set to miss the remainder of this regular season. He is going to have shoulder surgery, Scott, coming up very shortly. It looks like his rookie campaign in 2023 has already come to a close.
Yeah, that's too bad, right? I mean, he showed a lot of promise. The Colts have showed a lot of promise. And unfortunately, you know, he dealt with the concussion. He overcame that. And then the shoulder injury, you know, and the scrambling quarterback, there we go again. I mean, it's bound to happen. So now you look for teams, you know, what if, you know, big if, but if the Minnesota Vikings were willing to trade Kirk Cousins, and Cousins, by the way, has a no-trade clause, so he would have to waive it. So, but let's just say they get through all that. You know, would the Colts consider themselves, you know, ready to win the division anyway this year and make that kind of trade? Or do you just hand it off to Gardner Minshew and say, okay, it's your team the rest of the way, him and Sam Ellinger? Regardless, it's too bad, though, because I wanted to see Richardson play. I thought he was going to be the best out of the three quarterbacks, the top three that were drafted. Yeah. And unfortunately, his season is going to be cut short.
You know, Scott, it's interesting, right? Because Anthony Richardson plays the quarterback position, and part of the reason that he is as valuable as he looks on the football field is because of, one, how he looks. 6'4", 255. He's Derrick Henry's body mold, who runs a 4.440 and also can throw the football 85 yards down the field. Scott, when you think of that, though, of course, you get a little bit concerned about the overall health of him at this next level in the National Football League. It's not because he was running people over that he got injured, but he was concussed week number two, missed week number three, injured early in week number five. He wasn't even on the field all that much throughout his rookie campaign and the only four games that he suited up and played in for Indianapolis. And Scott, I think that is slightly concerning because Gardner Minshew is a really good backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew has a case, I think, Scott, to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Does he have a ceiling? Sure. But if you're Indianapolis in terms of being competitive in football games, you're not too worried about handing over the reins to the offense to Gardner Minshew in terms of keeping that level. But I think your overall goal, Scott, for a team that entered the year with a win total of 6.5 was not to win 6 or 7 or 8 games. It was to see AR develop. Now you're robbed of that opportunity, which I think was a key component of this year in 2023 to show Colts fans moving forward, Anthony Richardson is the face of the franchise.
Yeah, good point. I mean, just sets the whole team back 1 year, right? Just yeah. One full year. No matter how good or bad he played, it was going to be at least a learning year for him, get some experience and go through the lumps, and now you're not going to have that this season.
Yeah, I completely agree, Scott. And that's the tough part, right? And that's what we'll talk about coming up next as it pertains to another rookie quarterback where some changes are being made. It's the number one overall pick, Bryce Young, under a slightly new offensive scheme in Carolina. We'll break it down up next, live right here on Football Full Circle. Don't go anywhere and come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. So sadly, Scott, Anthony Richardson out for the remainder of the year, it seems, for Indianapolis. A year of development now wasted. Gardner Minshew takes over as the full-time starting quarterback for the 3-3 Indianapolis Colts. Scott, elsewhere around the NFL in terms of rookie quarterbacks, of course, C.J. Stroud off to a great year, setting historic marks, new records for the most pass attempts for a player to start off his NFL career without throwing an interception. And the Texans are 3-3, more competitive winning games, Scott, than many people gave Houston credit for entering this year. So AR was drafted fourth overall this past April in the 2023 NFL draft. Stroud second overall by Houston. First overall, Scott, by Carolina. Bryce Young out of Alabama, the 2021 Heisman Trophy winner. And it has not been smooth sailing yet so far for the Panthers. Of course, Carolina, the only remaining winless team around the National Football League following the opening 6 weeks. But a change coming to that Panthers offense, perhaps. Well, a change for sure. We'll see what the dividends are. Scott, Frank Reich, the head coach who had been calling plays, an offensive mind himself, will no longer be doing so. He has handed play calling duties to offensive coordinator Thomas Brown. Reich saying in the decision, this was fully his choice, 100% his call to hand the offensive play calling duties over to Thomas Brown. The young offensive coordinator will see what it means for Bryce Young and this Panthers team trying to get their first win of the year, trying to get some momentum going offensively.
Yeah, 0-6, and only two of their losses have come by one score. So they really haven't even been competitive, and everything's a one-score game in the NFL, right? But not with this Carolina Panthers team. I got mixed views on this, Ben. You know, if I was the head coach and I was an offensive guy, as Frank Reich is, I just would never do it. I wouldn't relinquish it. You know, to me, it's telling the world, you know what? I can't call a game. I'm too occupied with other things. I can't think straight on offense. I just wouldn't do it. But then there is another side of me that says it's not like he's alienated himself from the offense, right? I mean, I'm sure if it's 3rd and 7 and he says, you know, call a pass play, the offensive coordinator is going to call a pass play. Just pick one. You go ahead and pick the play. I'm going to tell you what you're going to call, though, whether it's a run or a pass or whether we're punting or whatever. You know, so it's, I don't know. I don't know if we make too much about this, but it's just not a good sign, right? I mean, you game number 7, all right, you've had your struggles. Bryce Young missed a game, so we won't include that. To just like automatically say, all right, I'm giving up the offensive play call, and dude, is like, what, is that going to change philosophies? Is that really going to make that big a difference? Like I said, if it was a bunch of one score losses and they're not scoring down a stretch, maybe, but they're getting blown out, you know, the 14 points, 10 points, 18 points, 21 points against the Dolphins this past week. I don't think it's about the offense. It's just about the whole team. And 42 points they've given up the last 2 weeks, Ben. I mean, that's not offense. That's defense.
Yeah, certainly so, Scott. They have struggled defending teams. And, you know, part of that is the offense, right? They work in congruence. If your offense is out there, long, sustained scoring drives, putting up points, it takes some of the burden off the defense. But we've seen defense win a couple of games around the National Football League, the Browns and the Jets pulling off huge upsets. Carolina's defense is not that. But, Scott, what I think is even more concerning than the 0-6 start is Carolina's inability even to cover a number. They are one of two teams still remaining in the National Football League yet to cover a number. Them and the Denver Broncos, who you don't want to be paired alongside at this moment either. Both 0-5-1 against the spread. The Broncos have been booked as a favorite multiple times. The Panthers, an underdog in every game. And Scott, the only time they even got close to covering was week number 2 against the Saints. They lost by 3. They were a 3-point underdog in that Monday night doubleheader. Again, that's not good for Carolina. Scott, they have lost, like you said, multiple games, 4 out of 6 by double digits. And when you look at the numbers against the number, not good. Scott, you would have thought maybe they could cover as a 14-point favorite, up 14, or 14-point underdog, rather, up 14-zip over Miami this past Sunday. They lose the game by 3 touchdowns. They can't even stay within the 14-point spread after taking a 14-point lead early on in the opening half. And some of that is on Bryce Young. Some of that is on the lack of development offensively so far. But Scott, it is concerning right now where you see Carolina, because the one hope, right? We talked about it with Anthony Richardson. We talked about it entering this year for all three of these rookie quarterbacks that we assumed were going to start week number one for their franchises getting drafted in the top four, that maybe you're not going to win football games. Maybe you're not going to win 9, 10, 11 games and compete for a playoff spot. But you want to show progress. You want to show development. You want to actually trend with positivity toward the end of a season to say to your fan base, to your organization, to the league overall, we're here. We're trending in a positive way. This is the face of the franchise. The development and growth of this organization is starting to come. Scott, when you're not even covering numbers, it's a very, very difficult pill to swallow, in my estimation, to think that competition is moving forward. And on top of that, Scott, there's already been some interesting conversation with Frank Reich and the media about whose decisions are really running things when it comes to this football organization. Is it ownerships and executives, or is it the coaching staff? Right now, Scott, there seems to be a little bit of a strained relationship there as well.
Yeah, year number one of Frank Reich, right? I mean, this is not even, he didn't even get like a honeymoon year to kind of figure things out. And then as much pressure, Ben, as there is to be successful in the NFL, and throw in being a rookie, then you also throw in, don't forget, Carolina had the pick of the litter. They traded up to the number one spot. So with every good outing by C.J. Stroud with Houston as the number two quarterback taken, that just throws a little bit more pressure on Bryce Young and Carolina. And you hope that the fan base doesn't turn on them and him saying, you know what, Houston's going to make the playoffs, for goodness sakes, or at least challenge for a playoff spot. We could have had that quarterback. Instead, you took this guy, you know, kind of like the Mitch Trubisky if you remember with Patrick Mahomes. You know, that's one of the many things Trubisky had to deal with, knowing that the Bears could have had Pat Mahomes, and they passed up on him, as many teams did, but still. Just knowing that, you know, Carolina had the pick of the litter, and they may have picked the wrong guy.
It is interesting, Scott, because I still think it's probably early. I think we could both agree it's a little bit too early to say Bryce Young is going to be a bust or he's not going to work out in Carolina. It's only been six games. It's not a great sample size, as we have said to start, but it's only been six games. If you're looking for optimism, they have scored at least 21 points in the last two games, something they had not done with Bryce Young as the starter. They scored 27 week three in Seattle, but of course that was Andy Dalton leading the way. If I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, or if I'm somebody that believes in Bryce Young, I want to see them, they're on the bye this week, playing C.J. Stroud in the matchup of one versus two, maybe getting that victory. But if not, Scott, they're right in that football game. Then the next week against Indianapolis, what would have been a matchup against the other rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, getting that football game. Even in some of the games, Scott, down the stretch for Carolina, that's honestly not the most difficult of schedules, given the fact they play in the NFC South. Their most difficult game is against Dallas on November 19th. That game's at home, though, for Carolina. Maybe going on the road to divisional foes like New Orleans, or maybe even the second to last week of the year in Jacksonville. It's not a terribly difficult schedule for the Panthers, so you want to see some wins. And even in the game, Scott, in their final 11 that they have, let's say they win three or four. Good. That's trending in a positive direction after dropping your first six to start the year. But even in those losses, let's say there's six or seven more on the horizon, you're covering numbers in a majority of them to show that you are there, you are in lockstep, you are keeping games competitive, and that next year, those games that you were close and barely lost out on as an underdog, but maybe it covered a number, those margins start to shift, and you're winning those football games that you kept close down to the wire.
Yeah, and you know, Ben, their over-under number dropped two wins this past week. Because I know, bet it. I was talking about it last week. I don't know if it was with you or one of the other shows. I said Carolina's win total is 5.5. They're winless. Yeah. How are they going to go 6-7 the rest of the way, right? I mean, it's, you know, not impossible, but now I look at it, it's 3.5. It dropped from 5.5 to 3.5 with a, you know, probably an expected loss at Miami. But just the way they lost, I guess, and just the turmoil, You know, it is a little juice to the over at minus 142, but I don't know if this team gets four wins, even though, as you said, their schedule is ridiculously easy. You know, if they go like 2-15 or even three wins with this schedule, it's like, wow, how bad are you that you're not even winning, you know, the toss-up games, Colts, Bears, Texans, you know, Buccaneers, who I don't think are going to be a very, very good football team when everything is said and done. If you can't get 5-6 wins out of that schedule, wow, you really are starting from scratch.
Yeah, and that's going to be difficult. And again, it's all about relative competition level, right? It's all about relative success. Nobody is saying the Carolina Panthers are about to rout off 9 of their final 11 games to have a winning record. That shouldn't be the expectation. It's not realistic. But even if Carolina, Scott, wins 3, 4, or 5 games, how are they winning those football games? How are they losing football games? Might even be a part of this conversation. We'll see with the bye week, some time to rest, to get back healthy, to install things with a new offensive play caller in Thomas Brown leading the way as the offensive coordinator. And of course, Scott, their game following the bye is at home against Houston. The early look ahead line actually has the Panthers as a slight home favorite. I don't know about that. I think the Texans have been really, really good this year, but there will be a lot of conversation out of that game, Scott, if Carolina is not doing what we are thinking they might be able to be competitive and to stay in those football games. And if CJ Stroud puts on a show why Bryce Young struggles, going to be a lot of talk about did Carolina make the right decision. Of course, there were some interesting comments when the Panthers coaching staff was in Columbus at Ohio State's Pro Day, and Josh McCown, the quarterback coach in Carolina, was talking to Stroud about making his plans to get to Charlotte for them to ultimately go back on Bryce Young. A very interesting conversation. We'll move it forward here in the National Football League up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle all around the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Scott, it's never too early when you get into the football season to take an early look at the lines for the upcoming Sunday ahead. And, Scott, we've been talking a lot about young quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks on today's show. The first football game that we have in week number 7 is just 2 days away, of course. It's Thursday night football in New Orleans. And the line works towards the Saints in their matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because why, Scott? There's some concern around Trevor Lawrence's status and availability for Thursday night. Of course, he exited the win against Indianapolis early with a knee injury. He had an MRI early this week. They don't fear it to be anything significant, but they're listing him right now as day-to-day. Day-to-day might be coach speak. Day-to-day might mean nothing serious, but day-to-day, Scott, when you only have 2 more days to get ready for an NFL football game, is a very short and impacted timeline. So, knowing that the line is now 3, it was 1 in favor of New Orleans on this short week. Now it's a full field goal in favor of the Saints. Scott, do you think Trevor Lawrence could or should play in this football game on Thursday?
Line's telling you he's not, right? And clearly, if it's going to jump 2 points like that, it's not jumping because bettors are betting that. It's jumping because, you know, boys in Vegas got word that he's not going to play. So, short week, you know, Jacksonville very quietly, right? That's what happens when you end up playing, you know, 2 games in London at 9:30 in the morning on the East Coast, let alone, you know, 6:30 on the West Coast. No one's noticing that, you know, they're actually playing pretty good football, you know, 3 straight wins. So, but they have a lot on the line. You get C.J. Beathard. They only have 2 guys on their roster, quarterback-wise. Lawrence and C.J. Beathard, but I think I would go conservative. You never want to play scared and be afraid of a team, but boy, that Saints defense is so darn good. 12 straight unders, thanks in large part to that defense. I think if there was any chance of him, you know, being a little bit limited, Trevor Lawrence, I'd hold him out and just, you know, pick my battles, and this won't be one of them, and wait till next week.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot for this Jacksonville team, Scott, who spent back-to-back Sundays in London, came back home to play Indianapolis, got a big win in a divisional game between two teams that entered with the same record at 3-2, both above 500. For them now, Scott, on a short week to play the Saints, yeah, you would think somewhere in that gauntlet there would be a bye week, not for Jacksonville at this moment. So I find that to be a little bit interesting here for the Jaguars. They do play New Orleans, then they will go to Pittsburgh. They have somewhat of a mini bye before they have their full bye the first weekend in November. I think, Scott, in this football game, it's going to be difficult to really get a handle of how it's going to play out without Trevor Lawrence. We're seeing the line work to the Saints. We're also seeing the total come down, because if Trevor Lawrence is not out there for Jacksonville, knowing what New Orleans brings on the other side, the fact the Saints have played all six of their games this year to an under, they have played 11 straight games to an under dating back to last year, I don't think we're going to see points. And Scott, if slash when we get confirmation that Trevor Lawrence is not playing in this Thursday night football game, I think that total could really drastically drop. It was 39.5 just earlier on this Tuesday. It's 38 and a hook now. It wouldn't surprise me to see it down near 36.5 on Thursday night if Trevor Lawrence is ruled out.
Yeah, you think about it. Saints 12 straight unders, 14-1 under their last 15 games as well. Yeah. And you know, you don't want to give away games, Ben, but you know, if you're Jacksonville, you got a Colts team in your division that now is going to have a backup quarterback playing the entire year. You got the Tennessee Titans that are 2-4, and then you got Houston that's relying on a rookie quarterback, and it's probably just going to be a learning year for Houston. They're going to, you know, show some promise, but I don't know if they're going to get 10 wins. I mean, if there was a team that had a game to give, this would be the game and the team. I mean, and just from an analytical standpoint, that's a tough spot, right? You play your two games over in London, you fly back, you have a division game against the Colts, you do well, obviously, in that game. Somewhere along the line, that little hiccup has to come into play. I really would think this would be the game, and I would not be surprised to see that line go over that magical three number, which we all know in Vegas is this great thing. But if I'm going to bet the Saints, I'm going to bet them now laying the three before that goes to 3.5 or even four. I think this is a real tough spot for Jacksonville. Real tough.
Listen, I picked the Saints, Scott, to win the NFC South. Right now, they're still in a decent position to do so. They're 3-3. Atlanta's 3-3. The Buccaneers have the best record in the division at 3-2, but that's not the strongest 3-2 winning record you will ever see for the Bucs, who got hammered at home by the Lions fresh off the bye. And of course, the Panthers are winless 0-6. Scott, I was kind of surprised to see the Saints still booked as the favorites in the NFC South at +150. Again, I think that speaks to the overall nature of this South division in the NFC being as bad as it was last year, pretty much what we expected this year, more of a toss-up because nobody was going to run away with it with 10, 11, or 12 wins, but maybe 8-9 once again, or 9-8 could end up winning you this divisional crown. Scott, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, though, it's hand-wrapped on a golden platter for New Orleans to take advantage. The offense is starting to pick up. Derek Carr threw the ball better last week. It's still not great by any means. 13 points against the Houston Texans. The defense has been reliable and consistent for New Orleans. But if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, and this line goes from 3, 3.5 to 4, Scott, in favor of New Orleans, they got to win that football game outright at home on a short week on Thursday night. That would make them a winning record, 4-3, with what at the time would be the best record in the division. We'll see what the Bucs and the Falcons and, of course, the Panthers on a bye have coming later this weekend. It would be a big game, Scott, for New Orleans. It is a big game, but would be even a better opportunity, I would say, more favorable in its forecast, of course, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play.
Yeah, and we talk about schedules that are ridiculously easy, right? We mentioned this before the season. The NFC South has just a cupcake of a schedule, and the Saints included, knowing that they got the Colts on the road next time and then the Bears after that. You have a chance to win three straight here. I like the Saints at the beginning of the year. I'm disappointed. They already have, really, to me, two losses that I didn't count on, Tampa Bay at home and then at the Texans. Yeah. Maybe excuse the Texans ones, because I think they're going to be actually, you know, a pretty good football team. But then they got to be, they have to win this one. They just have to win this game against Jacksonville if they want to be taken seriously. They've scored, though, Ben, offensively over 20 points one time in six games. Now, I know they didn't have Kamara for all those games, but they have him now. They got Olave and Thomas, the wide receivers. They got Derek Carr. Yeah. I mean, what is going on? How come they can't score? I mean, scoring's down across the NFL. I get it. But to score only, 21 points one time, 34, and that was against the Patriots, and that came with two defensive touchdowns. Their offense, realistically, has not scored more than 20 points all year. Amazing.
And Scott, that was part of the optimism for backing the Saints to win this division, right? Because we knew the defense was going to be there. Even with Dennis Allen entering his second year, he was the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton for six consecutive before he got the head coaching role in 2022. So the defense has been great the better part of the last half decade in New Orleans. And once again, it has been great this year for the Saints. But again, the burden on a defense when your offense is giving you nothing, for the defense who has to stop teams from scoring, not actively looking to score themselves, although they can in theory, it's a huge, huge task for this team to then win football games in the NFL when the margins are so super slim and tight. But the Saints have a good opportunity on Thursday at home, either against a banged up Trevor Lawrence or a Jacksonville Jaguars team without T-Law in the lineup. Scott, on Sunday, a couple of good games on the docket. Here's another one, right? We talked about the Lions last week on the road. It was one of two matchups that we had. Detroit 4-1 entering, Tampa Bay 3-1 entering, fresh off the bye, where we had both teams having a winning mark at that moment. Well, here the Lions are again, a 3-point dog now on the road in Baltimore against the Ravens. Baltimore fresh back from a trip from London. They looked pretty good on Sunday against Tennessee, getting their fourth victory of the year. The Lions are a 5-1 football team. They are one of five teams around the NFL, Scott, who post that 5-1 record through the opening month and a half. Again, it's not fair, Scott, to say Detroit has a litmus test every time they take the football field, but it is kind of the consideration around the Lions. How do they perform against the teams that we know are there, the Chiefs in the opener, the Ravens here? How do they perform when booked as a favorite, which has not often been the case for that team in the Motor City over the past two decades or so, certainly over the past few years under Dan Campbell? They have passed with flying colors for the most part in games they've been booked as a favorite. They squandered a game against the Seattle Seahawks week number three. But Scott, here they are again as an underdog. Is Detroit really a dog against Baltimore? If the Lions go into the Charm City and win outright, what does that say about this Lions team? Again, Scott, it's all of the takeaways that we have from what will be a significant matchup on Sunday between the Ravens and the Lions.
Yeah. And you think about, generally speaking, home field gives you about a 3-point edge to your favor. So what the boys in Vegas are saying, if this was on a neutral field, Detroit and Baltimore would be pick'em, which, I guess. But you're right. It is still a litmus test. It might be every single, they could beat Baltimore. And then next week, I don't know who they play, but we'll be saying, all right, can they rebound, though, from that spot? Can they get back down to earth in time to win the next game? Because that's what good teams do. So it's going to be a series of tests for this Baltimore, Detroit Lions team. But, and we talked about it a little bit before, them being 5-1 with the schedule they have and in a position to maybe get a number one or even a number two seed. It's these Cinderella teams, Ben, that seem to have, like, the first go-round easier in the postseason as well. You think about Cincinnati a couple years ago, right? They go to the Super Bowl. That was the kind of came out of nowhere. Joe Burrow was healthy and everything else, and they're still struggling to get back to that spot. So it's not, like, unnatural for these Cinderella teams to really have their most success the first year rather than, the future years when everyone's all geared up to face them. So, listen, Baltimore lost at home to Indianapolis with a backup quarterback. So if the Lions are real, on grass, it's not, the turf field, that would help them. But it's not an impossible spot for them to get the victory here. And this would be a good little, they proved it already winning at Kansas City, right? But that was without Travis Kelce. So there's always a little hiccup after every time you say Detroit won. But this would be a real good spot.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right? This is an opportunity for the Lions who, Scott, I think the biggest improvement this year for Detroit has been defensively. One of the worst defenses in the NFL is now top 10 in pretty much every major stat category. They have not allowed a 100-yard rusher in the first six games for the first time in this franchise's history, dating back to the early 1930s. Well, enter Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards and everybody that Baltimore is going to throw out them. Again, Detroit has a difficult test this week, but I think that's going to be a great football game. I hope it lives up to that 3-point spread in the billing of being close. Speaking of a 3-point spread, Scott, you mentioned Kansas City. Of course, Detroit went to Kansas City and won. Since that point, the Chiefs have won five straight. They are one of the also 5-5-1 teams in the NFL. They have to take on the LA Chargers this Sunday at home in Arrowhead. That game's a 5.5-point spread, but Scott, I loop in the Raiders and Bears game as well. Las Vegas is a 3-point favorite on the road in Chicago on Sunday, and it's remained at 3 because we know Justin Fields is not going to be there, and Justin Fields might be out for some time. It could be Tyson Bagent, the undrafted rookie quarterback from Shepherd University in West Virginia. So Scott, you would think, why are the Raiders, who have won two straight games, only a 3-point favorite? We're not sure about the status of Jimmy Garoppolo. Could it be Aiden O'Connell? Could it be Brian Hoyer in a game on Sunday in Chicago? We'll talk about that up next, what it means for the Chiefs in the AFC West, because they seem very primed, Scott, to win their eighth consecutive divisional crown. We break it down here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on FFC. So, Scott, it's interesting when you look at a couple of games featuring some AFC West teams this upcoming Sunday. We mentioned the Raiders in Chicago, a 3-point favorite against the Bears. On paper, that shouldn't be overly surprising. The Bears are an underdog to pretty much any team in the National Football League. But you actually might believe the line should be more than 3, with Tyson Bagent more than likely the starting quarterback for Chicago, as Justin Fields dislocated the thumb on his right throwing hand. There's some fear he might go on the IR at a point this week. So why wouldn't the Raiders be closer to a touchdown, where Jimmy Garoppolo left the game early with a back injury? Brian Hoyer looked suitable in that reserve duty, or maybe even Aiden O'Connell, the rookie quarterback out of Purdue, would make his second start. Scott, I think it just all speaks to the fact that the AFC West, now with the Chargers losing on Monday Night Football at 2-3, the Broncos a disaster, even the Raiders, Scott, would have won two straight and even 3-3 this year. Nobody's really going to challenge the Chiefs atop the AFC West.
Yeah, it doesn't appear so. Doesn't appear so, right? But if you're the Raiders and you want to make the playoffs, and you want to, even if you don't make the playoffs, just build on this year for next year, you have to win this game, right? I mean, yeah. I think it might be an indictment, Ben, on this, just Justin Fields. You know, I know it's Bagent, you know, and he came from a Division III school, but this might be, you know, to the boys in Vegas anyway, addition by subtraction. I got a feeling the Bears have lost 10 straight home games. I mean, that is just amazing. As difficult as it is to win on the road, to think the Bears have lost 10 straight at home, but they have, you know, it's hard to win on the road. Who wants to lay American money on the Raiders on the road? I got a feeling, though, this will jump up. If they announce that Garoppolo is playing, I think the line will go to 3.5, 4.
I mean, listen, even with Brian Hoyer, I would consider it rather consistent. And the Raiders' defense has been great the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What is Tyson Bagent going to do? Listen, he might be the starter taking the reps with the ones now, but clearly there was something Chicago believed in the kid out of Shepherd University in West Virginia. We'll find out, I guess, this upcoming weekend. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for Football Full Circle today on Sports Grid Radio.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.